Blog Talk Radio.
I didn't really get until probably
5 minutes to eight. What I should be teaching about this morning, as I tried to put it, you know, at least the lesson part of it together for this. So understand that this particular lesson on Galilee of the Gentiles, we're going to be walking through this. Shalom, Sister Farrell. Happy Sabbath. We're going to be walking through this subject matter. Galilee of the nations. This is where Messiah grew up at. And so, well, we got to understand that Galilee of the nations was really part of the old northern kingdom. It wasn't part of the current biblical kingdom of when Messiah was alive. Okay, so we're going to walk through a couple of things, and then a lot of reading in the Kings. Because as I see it today, the world and Israel, the nation of Israel as it stands today, is doing exactly what the book of Kings, I believe chapter 18 or 19, I might have to find this verse, because I think it's going to be the main part of this lesson, or end up being the main point, where they feared Yah, but they worship other gods. And this is where he grew up at. So from the time, as far as I can see in the scriptures, from the time that he was 2 or 3 years old, maybe 4, because I, you know, looking at the scriptures, it doesn't look like he was in Egypt a long time. Herod died almost right after he killed the 2-year-old and below. And then his son came to power. Joseph bringing Messiah and Mary back from Egypt, came back to Israel, but heard that, you know, it was Herod's son that was on the throne, and he was afraid. And then the Holy Spirit told him to, or in a dream, he was told to take, you know, go to Galilee. And there, and that was prophesied about, and we're going to read about that in Isaiah chapter 9, that's where he would take him. And so he grew up there, and his ministry started there. And so we want to look into this, because this is who he is sent to, actually, and in the end, who he ends up having to go to. All right, in the way that he does it. But it's not in Galilee where he goes, but a lot of the miracles that he does, you know, are in Galilee. The disciples come from Galilee. They are familiar with the people of the northern kingdom, even though they're not supposed to be having anything to do with the people of the northern kingdom. They sort of hate, you know, have a rivalry and hate each other, or don't have anything to do with one another. So I want to kind of go over this issue so that we understand that Messiah, in his growing up, he was very familiar with the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And it wasn't that he didn't know where they were at. It wasn't that the Most High didn't know where they were at. They knew, or maybe had lost over time, who they were, because that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to be and worship who and what they wanted. So let's start this way this morning. Let's do our statement of faith. And as I said, this is something that the Most High put on my heart to do. I am going to probably stumble through it because I haven't pre-read anything. There are verses that I am aware of, and so let the Most High do, let him, his way be done, let him do the talking on this morning. All right. I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be, in North America, South America, the African continent, the European theater, the Middle East, the Far East, wherever you listen to this ministry at, we greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. We are going to go ahead and do our statement of faith and pray in, and then jump into this lesson. This is really dealing with spiritual corruption and what Messiah would have witnessed as a young child and a young man growing up until the time of the call of his ministry. And so, I want us to change the light or to change the lens in how we look at these scriptures, not just looking at them as something that is historical, but it speaks to the nature of people, even today, that say that they fear the Most High and continue idol worship. And I believe that this is really one of the main things Messiah wanted people to stop. And this is the great crime of the Northern Kingdom. All right, so that being said, our statement of faith. Let me have ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads, turn toward the east. I believe that all scripture is given by the instrument of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20-21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26-29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We just lift you up on this morning, and we magnify your name, O Yahweh. We magnify you on this morning, and we praise your holy name, and we honor you as you have commanded, Father, that we honor you and speak your words and not our own words. Hallelujah to you, O Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Our scripture for today. John chapter 14 and verse 15. The book of John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar. I just love this song. The more and more I listen to it, see if I can find it. All right.
I no go forget to
when I came to pray.
Baba, I no go forget to
how you made a way.
They renamed it, the whole region, to Samaria. remind the Hebrews that, and anyone else that went there, that, you know, they had conquered the capital of Israel. And had conquered Israel, the northern kingdom, the Assyrians. So they renamed the region Samaria. It is really Israel, the northern kingdom. Now, as when the Romans came in, the Romans renamed a certain province, northern province of the old northern kingdom, or Samaria, as it was called when the Romans took it over. Okay, and they renamed the northern part of that to Galilee. And you have cities in Galilee, that Nazareth being one. And that's where Messiah was taken to, Nazareth. That's why he was called a Nazarene. But it is being controlled by the Romans in his lifetime. Him growing up there, the Jews of that time did not travel when they wanted to travel from the northern part of that kingdom to the south. Israel would have been to the south of that. It would often just go along the Mediterranean Sea. But I'm sure that there were those that traveled inland and traveled through Samaria. And they probably, you know, tried their best not to have any dealings with the Samaritans as much as possible. It wasn't that far, you know, they wouldn't have to stay in there 5 or 6 days. They could do that journey probably in 3 or 4 days. So they would take provision, you know, their water and their food, and they would travel those roads, and maybe, you know, they would sometimes get attacked on the road, things like that. So this is the atmosphere. Now, Messiah, knowing that, and the Most High knowing that this is the people that he had considered Israel, the lost sheep. Not the Assyrians, not the transplants, but those that had escaped the kings of Assyria. They were considered to be the lost tribe. So even in Galilee, people, it was controlled by the Romans, but it originally was controlled by the Assyrians. And it was originally before that a part of the northern kingdom. And so some of the Hebrews went back into the city of Nazareth. And they would have still been maintaining their custom of worshiping other gods. And so this is what Messiah grew up among. And so, you know, as long as it wasn't, I guess, Samaria proper, then the Jews would not have anything to do with them. You know, if it was Samaria proper, they wouldn't have anything to do with them or, you know, wouldn't associate with them. But some of those people lived in Nazareth. They lived in those towns all up and down there. And so the ones who were sent into Assyria, into cities in Assyria, they were cut off. They were never to be considered Israel again, ever. The only way that they could come back to the Most High would be as a Gentile, even though they had Hebrew blood. And this is what a lot of us don't accept. We don't accept this term called cut off. And cut off means you no longer belong to. I have cut you off. You know, there may be provisions for you to come back. But if you don't meet those provisions, those requirements to come back to the Most High, you are cut off. You don't belong to him. He's not your Elohim. He's not your God. You are not his people. And this is what happened to the vast majority of the old Northern Kingdom when the Assyrians took them out. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 9, and then we're going to go into 2 Chronicles. And we're just going to let the Most High have his way on this morning. I want to sort of paint this picture so that we understand how Messiah grew up. There's not a lot of information about his childhood, okay, especially between the ages of 2 and 12. Not a lot of information about his childhood, probably 2 and 30, okay? So Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation. Now, this is talking about the people of the northern kingdom. When at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. Remember, these 10 tribes, these are part of the 10 tribes that moved, that were part of the northern kingdom. So he was afflicting them and he was vexing them by the kings of Assyria. Okay. Afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. This was a future thing because Galilee of the nations didn't exist at that time. It was Galilee of the Assyrians. But Galilee of the Romans, before then, it was Galilee of Israel, the northern kingdom. So it's letting them know that this had been conquered, okay? And this is where Messiah would live. Verse 2, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon whom has the light shined. So the people that were in the northern kingdom that walked in darkness. They worshiped other Elohim. They worshiped the gods of Egypt. They worshiped the gods of so many different nations. It wasn't funny. They were just into everything. And they were walking in darkness. And Messiah grew up there. And he did some things as a child that are probably not recorded in the scriptures. But you have to know that later in time in his life, he did these works. But he was among them. And he was seeing what they were doing. It's like, I have to come see for myself. And coming as a child, you know, nobody's going to take him as a threat. Is going to take him, you know, not understanding who he was and what he was doing. So, you know, grown-ups usually just discount children. And they will be themselves in front of these children. Most of us don't set a very good example. And so who we really are, our public face and our private face can be two different things. And so Messiah is growing up around it, and he's seeing their ways, seeing if it's altogether true, and how they're actually, you know, practicing. And so when he becomes a grown man, and in time to enter into his ministry, he knows exactly what he has to do. You know, exactly who, you know, I got to start with the priesthood, because the priesthood was not part of the northern kingdom. The priesthood of the northern kingdom was made up by Jeroboam, of the poor people of the land. So when he took the 10 nations north and established the northern kingdom, because he was afraid of losing the people to Solomon's son, Rehoboam, he wouldn't allow them to go to Jerusalem to worship. So he created two altars in the north. And one was at Dan, and I have to remember where the other one was. But that's where the people would go and sacrifice. But he put two calf heads, a calf head at one altar and a calf head at another altar, and said, this is your God. and he made the poor people the priests. And so he created his own priesthood. And so they were just everything in Israel, everything in the northern kingdom, everything in the southern kingdom was just flipped upside down. Even when Messiah came, Herod was an Edomite king. He was from the seed of Esau, not from the tribe of Judah. And so everything is just all, they're called, going by the name, but nothing is in order. Nothing is in order, okay? And so Messiah grows up among this. You got the nation of Israel or Judah, you know, existing as being called Israel, but it's really those that were of the tribe of Judah and of the tribe of Benjamin, some from the northern kingdoms, but the Levites were there, but they were never considered to be counted as when the Most High created, you know, accepted the Levites as his people, as the ones that would minister to him. They weren't to be counted as part of Israel. So when he separated them and sent the 10 tribes north, he left one tribe in Judah for the tribe of David, which was the tribe of Judah, and the Levites remained in Israel, in Jerusalem, because they were not to be counted as. But they were not the priesthood that was in the northern kingdom, is my point here. So this is what Messiah grows up in. We want to go to Second Chronicles, and then we're going to go to the king. Because this is for us to understand his ministry, where he is birthed at, where he is having to be taken to, where he finally ends up at to grow up in and to experience life in Nazareth of Galilee of the nations. But Second Chronicles, in order to really understand how this history is written, it's a chronology. Make sure I say that word right. It's a chronology of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. And then the kings are a chronology of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. They sort of tell different stories about these kings, okay? And in the Chronicles, we're dealing with Israel, the northern nation, the northern kingdom, in Chronicles chapter 30. The northern kingdom has been conquered by, I believe his name is Salmanasar, one of the kings of Assyria. The Hebrews have been moved. The vast majority of the population, they weren't murdered, you know, they weren't massacred. They were like the Americans did to the Indians. They were marched off and put on another land, taken captive. And they are at this time captive. And they're taken to other cities along, I believe it said the Gihon River, and don't take me as the gospel for that, I'm calling from my memory, the Gihon River in Assyria, and put into cities along those rivers, along that river, in cities along that river. But not everybody is captured. And so some escaped. The king of Judah, the southern kingdom at this time, they are still intact, even though they are doing worse They were doing worse than the northern kingdom was doing. But Hezekiah straightens them out, okay? And for a period, they are operating as the Most High intended for them to operate. He's one of the few kings that did exactly what the Most High told him to do, which was to destroy the altars in the top of the mountain, okay, the high place. And he knows that the people that are in the northern kingdom, the ones that have escaped, they have not come to Jerusalem in a long time to the Passover. And as a matter of fact, the southern kingdom really had not been keeping the Passover the way it should for a long time. And so Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, is trying to straighten this stuff out. And so this is the background behind chapter 30. So let's go here and let's read. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, starting in verse 1. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel. Israel as a nation did not exist. So he's sending it to these people who escaped, okay? And he's calling them Israel. He's not sending this letter into Assyria and saying, hey, you guys that have been taken captive, y'all come keep the Passover. Because then he would be bringing the king of Assyria down on him, because these people now belong to the king of Assyria. They don't belong to Hezekiah. They don't belong to Jeroboam or whoever the king was at the time that the northern kingdom was taken captive, okay? Hezekiah sent to all Israel and to Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of Yah at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto Yah, Elohim of Israel. So if we will read this at face value, if you didn't do your research, then you would think that he is writing to all of Israel. And he is writing to all of Israel, what is considered to be Israel at this time. And so the scriptures have to tell us who that is. If we read this and didn't study, then we would think that the northern kingdom is still intact. You know, if we cherry pick, the northern kingdom is still intact, and he's writing letters to the people of the northern kingdom, which, you know, then he would have written it, if he was writing to the northern kingdom, he would have surely started with the king of the northern kingdom, one king to another. But he's writing to the tribes, okay, that are escaped, and the people of those tribes that are escaped. So let's continue reading. So it sounds like he's writing to all of Israel, but he's not, okay? And they're going to explain that to us. For the king had taken counsel and his princes, all the congregation in Jerusalem, to keep the Passover in the second month. Why in the second month? They missed the first month. And he's trying to straighten things out. They have been in, the southern kingdom has been in apostasy also. And they have had wicked, evil kings, just like the northern kingdom had. But the northern kingdom had the vast majority of the people. Only the tribe of Levi and the tribe of Judah, and I think a little bit of Benjamin, were in the southern kingdom. But Benjamin actually belonged to the northern kingdom. Okay? And so when he's writing this letter, he's consulting with his chief, his council, his princes, his children that are in Jerusalem. And, you know, hey, we need to keep the Passover like we're supposed to. And so he wants to invite the people who are in the northern kingdom that are still there. So let's read this. But they could not keep it at that time because the priests had not sanctified themselves. sufficiently. That's why they're keeping it in the second month. They are, nobody's acting right. The priesthood, the tribe of Judah, the northern kingdom has been destroyed, and they just have not been honoring the Most High, and Hezekiah has come to straighten this out, okay? And so the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently. Neither had the people gathered themselves together at Jerusalem. What was one of the laws? For the Passover, it was required that they come to Jerusalem. All the males, the firstborn, come to Jerusalem, and it hadn't happened. So they're not going to come by themselves. They're going to bring their families with them. And so they are just doing things wrong. They're not doing what they're required to do. And so Hezekiah is trying to straighten this thing out. So the priesthood had not sanctified themselves, and the people hadn't gathered, hadn't come to Jerusalem to keep the Passover. Now, we ain't doing that stuff. And the king, and the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. So he sends out and talks with his priests, talks with, you know, his princes, the head of, in Judah, and say, hey, we need to keep the Passover like we're supposed to. And it pleased them that he wanted to do this. But before, they weren't doing it, and they didn't want to do it. And they weren't even gathering themselves. You know, that for the people not to be doing what they're doing, that means that the princes and the governors, however they were set up, the elders, were not doing what they were supposed to do to make sure that the people traveled. You know, it wasn't that we in this country don't understand the importance and the role of the priesthood. When we hear about Sharia law from the Muslims, we had Sharia law as being Hebrew, and the elders enforced it. That was their job. They were the policemen. They were the ones that enforced the law, Sharia law, the laws of the Most High, as given by the Most High. They were supposed to enforce it. That's what the Most High did when he gave the Levites the law. He gave it to the elders at the same time. And so the Levites would, you know, would interpret when the elders were confused, when they didn't understand something, the Levites, the priesthood, would make the interpretation of what the law was saying when the elders couldn't do it. But the elders are the ones that enforce the law. They taught it to the people, and they enforced it. So they're not doing this because the people aren't traveling. Everybody is out of order. Okay, and it says everybody is out of order, because for the priesthood not to have sanctified itself to keep the Passover, or the people not to have gathered to keep the Passover, they are in a mess. And so you have Hezekiah trying to straighten this thing out. Okay. So they established a decree to make the proclamation throughout all Israel. Now, Israel doesn't belong to the northern kingdom anymore. There's no king in the northern kingdom at this time. Sending it out to the people, and it has to be along the borders, so I would think that they would have made the Assyrians really mad. Because this territory now belongs to the Assyrians and not Israel. So this is kind of like a covert action. But it is the Most High doing this. And remember that the Assyrians, the Most High used them a lot of times to discipline Israel and to discipline Egypt. And when they got out of order, then he would send Egypt or Babylon to discipline them. And so it's almost as though the Most High is allowing this letter to go throughout this northern kingdom for a purpose. And the purpose is to get the remainder, the remnant that escaped to repent. Through their repentance, he was going to cause the king of Assyria to send all these people back. That Hezekiah is the king of Judah. That this was going to, this proposal is being made through. Okay? And it's a call to the people. We've got to understand that the ones that have been taken, they don't have no way of getting back. And the ones that are more or less living amongst some transplants, they are not in charge. But they can still travel. They can still travel. Okay? Not the ones that were taken away, but the ones that are living in, quote-unquote, Samaria, old Israel, they're still able to travel. And so the Most High, through Hezekiah, is writing this letter and making this appeal. Okay? So they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan. Now, Beersheba is where they put the first altar, and Dan is where they put the second altar to worship the false god. The calf head. The Egyptians worship cows. And so the golden calf that popped out when Aaron, the people said, you know, make us a god, and the golden calf popped out, that wasn't by accident. That wasn't by happen chance. That's what they were used to worshiping. Jeroboam, when he's given the northern kingdom, he runs into Egypt and learns their ways, relearns their ways, and brings it back. And out of fear that the people will not, you know, people will leave him because they don't have any place to worship, any god to worship. They got to go all the way to Jerusalem. And, hey, I'm the king of the north. And Rehoboam and Solomon are kings of the south. I don't want my people to go amongst these kings. At least they keep them. So he establishes this calf worship, okay, in Beersheba and in Dan. And they that they should come to keep the Passover unto Yah Elohim of Israel at Jerusalem, for they had not done it in a long time in such sort as it is written. They hadn't done it, neither had the southern kingdom. So it's not just pointing to the northern kingdom and saying, hey, you guys come because y'all ain't kept it in a long time. Neither had the southern kingdom been keeping it. The priesthood hadn't even been sanctifying itself to be able to perform and go in unto Yah. Now, if they weren't doing that, what else weren't they doing? But thank you, Yah. Because, see, that brings to my mind why he had them taken to Babylon, and when they returned from Babylon, they returned without certain elements of the temple where they could perform the priesthood in the way that it is written. So they made it up. And I think I told you guys this a while back. They made it up for 500 years. They were not able to make atonement because there were things that were missing, that were required. So they are all in a mess. So they're not able to keep the Passover as it is written, okay? They hadn't been keeping the Passover as it was written in the north. They hadn't been keeping it in the south. So King Hezekiah is trying to do the right thing and trying to reestablish the priesthood and trying to reestablish them keeping the laws of the Most High. Okay, and tearing down, what he did was tear down the altars that were in the mountains that the people were using to worship Baal. One of those few kings, him and Gideon, two kings that did it. The other kings, I don't care how righteous they were or evil, they did not do it. Only those two kings did it. So the post went out. The post went with the letters from the king, this is from King Hezekiah, and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah. and according to the commandments of the king, saying, you children of Israel, and we need to read this carefully, you children of Israel, turn again unto Yah, Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And he will return unto the remnant of you, the remainder of you, that are escaped out of the hands of the kings of Assyria. I will come and be your Elohim. I will fight for you if you will just come and keep the law as it is written. If you will return and worship me and keep the Passover as it is written, sanctify yourself. Come to Jerusalem and keep the Passover. Now it's not, it's to the remnant that are escaped. The vast majority are in captivity. And they have been cut off. And the Most High is going to extend an olive branch where they can come back. And he will cause the king of Assyria to bring them back, to send them back. Okay? And be not like your fathers and like your brethren, which trespass against Yah Elohim of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation. This desolation is the absence of them in the land. And we got to understand that desolation, when you look up that definition, you might think it means barren and unlivable. And you know, like desert, nothing can live there. But a lot of the times in the scripture, when it says desolation, it means the absence of the people, the children of Elohim. And so he gave them up to desolation. He removed them so that they were not in the land. And there's only very few of them in the land, a remnant. They have no power. They have no authority. They are totally in subjection, in submission to the king of Assyria. They are a conquered people, except for they escaped. They didn't get captured. Okay? Now, be you not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourself unto Yah. Listen and do what he says. Because Yah said it, don't mean the people do it. And when they don't do it, what happens is they get punished for not doing it. First, starting at the house of the Most High, his people. But yield yourselves unto Yah and enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever. And serve Yah your Elohim, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. So Yah come and keep the Passover, as it is written, with us who have not kept the Passover as it is written either. They're not innocent. But let's do this thing right. And it's an olive branch through King Hezekiah to the remnant of Israel that has escaped. Not to the ones that were taken away. Okay? For if, now here is the if condition. If you turn again unto Yah, Yah has never been unconditional. It's always an if condition. That's why when people say Yah loves us unconditionally, he does not. There's always conditions. If you turn again unto Yah, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that led them captive. If you, the remnant that escaped, turn again unto Yah, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that led them captive, the ones that were taken away, so that they shall come again into this land. For Yah, your Elohim, is gracious and merciful, and will turn and will not turn away his face from you if you return to him. So he's using the ones that have escaped as the representation of all Israel. And if they do the right thing, then I'll return all the ones that were led away captive back into the land. Okay? So the post passed from city to city and through the country. Now, before I move on, we got to understand that this is how the Most High works. And if we don't do the right thing, we could be representing so many people that we don't know. Our lives, how we conduct ourselves, our family, those of us who are the remnant, whether Jew or Gentile, because this is all in Messiah today. If we do what has been written, if we do what the Most High says, then we can help to redeem a lot of people. And the Most High will do a work to cause a lot of people to come back that are called here. This is what he's saying to Israel. So the post passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun. But they laughed. Yeah, right. You think we coming down there to Jerusalem? Them to scorn and mock them. And what are they mocking? Y'all worshiping the Most High Elohim, and they're mocking them for doing so, but also because they're not doing it as it was written either. And so they have no faith in the southern kingdom, in the Levitical priesthood, in the king, because truth of the matter is, the scripture says that Judah did worse than Israel did. And it's only for the sake of David that the Most High didn't utterly destroy all of the southern kings until they rejected Messiah. But it's because of the tribe of David, because of the Levitical priesthood, his priesthood being there, that he didn't cause it to be utterly just torn apart and never to be put back together again. Even when he sent the righteous that were in Judah to Babylon so that he could destroy Jerusalem, cause the wicked to stay behind and move the righteous. So here he's telling those that have escaped, you now represent your people. And if you remnant, if you will do right, then it's a starting point, and I will bring the rest of them back into the land. I will undo what I have caused to happen. But they laughed, and they mocked them. So the fact that the vast majority of Israel are scattered in the nations around the world, a lot of us who call ourselves Israel are part of this group that were cut off, have a bloodline to Israel, to the Hebrew Israelite people, but we are not his people, or we're not his people. And then there are those of us who came through the transatlantic slave trade who were punished even worse, who were sent into chattel slavery because our forefathers did worse than these. See, we got to understand this history that we're dealing with. And everybody is not the same people. And if we don't understand that, then we won't understand why it's hard for some to believe. And it's hard for some to even want to come and do the right thing and still call themselves Israel. Because, you know what? We want to be Israel. But I digress. Verse 11, 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 11. Nevertheless, diverse or different ones of Asher and Manasseh and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Now that's three representations, three from the 10 tribes. Okay. How many of them? Don't know. But they, you know, maybe their people were brought back. Maybe their people were allowed to return into the southern kingdom. I don't, you know, I haven't looked into that or gone before the Most High for it. But we got a few that humble themselves and come to Jerusalem. And Judah, the hand of Elohim, and also in Judah, the hand of Elohim was to give them one heart to do the commandments of the king. The commandments of the king was to keep the Passover as it had been written to do. Elohim put it in the hearts of the people to follow the king and the princes by the word of Yah. And there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month. So this is the makeup Passover. The priests hadn't sanctified themselves. The people hadn't gathered to Jerusalem. And so you got a great crowd that shows up now. And I still don't believe it's everyone. But it's enough to make it a great crowd. Okay, and a lot of the nation, the southern kingdom, is doing it. Now, I'm sure that Hezekiah at some point would have looked into who didn't come. Who didn't obey my law, my commandment? More so, who didn't obey the commandment of the Most High? Okay. So they have a great congregation in the second month. And they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem. Remember that Solomon, through his many wives, to please his wives, he allowed them to bring their gods into Israel, into Judah, even into Jerusalem, and even into the temple. He set up altars to Baal and other gods. Solomon did this. He's doing worse than what's going on in the northern kingdom. He did worse, but Hezekiah is coming to straighten this out. And as I said, he's one of the few kings that did this. So he's removing the altars that were in Jerusalem. But there was altars all around Jerusalem too, up in the high places, inside of Jerusalem, inside of the temple of the Most High. Remember to Hezekiah, the Most High brought Hezekiah, and he's pissed. He's got Hezekiah by the hair, lifting him up by his hair. Look, see what they do. Look at how what they're doing in my own house. Look how they're worshiping the sun and the moon and the stars and the creeping things, the abominable things in my house, fornicating with all these things in my house. And so they're doing worse. And the Most High has destroyed the northern kingdom for what they have done, and the southern kingdom was doing worse. But we have a king that comes up that wants to do right, okay? And so they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and all the altars and incense took they away and cast them into the brook of Kidron. Then they killed the Passover on the 14th day. So they're cleaning up Jerusalem to the worship of all these other gods, altars, and they were mainly to Baal. And our people have always been addicted to sex. When you read it in the scriptures, that's why they were attracted to Baal and the worship of Baal, because the priesthood of Baal, part of their worship was to have sex with the people in the worship of Baal. And we've always been addicted to those types of things. Even when this certain Hebrew brought this Midianite woman, priestess, into the camp, took her into the tent, and was going to have sex with her as part of worshiping another deity, and one of the servants ran in and ran him through with a spear. And Yah was content with that, okay? But our people have always done these types of things. Okay. So then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month. And the priests and the Levites were ashamed, as they should be. You know, we haven't been doing what is right. We didn't prepare. We haven't been making, you know, the proper sacrifices to Yah. They know, you know, and I truly believe that they know that the things that they have done, that everything that's required by the law is not there, okay? And sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offerings into the house of Yah. So they were ashamed, and then they sanctified themselves. They went and did the washing that they were supposed to do, changed into the priestly clothes that they were supposed to change into, and so that they could perform the duties that they were supposed to do. You can't just go before the Most High any kind of way. They couldn't just appear before him any kind of way. You know, appear before him all funky and stanky and, you know, not clean, not sanctified, not cleansed the way they're supposed to. So they do this, stood in their place after their manner, according to the law of Moses, the man of Elohim. And the priest sprinkled the blood, which they received of the hand of the Levite. For there were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. The people were not sanctified. Remember how when the Most High came down to meet the people in Exodus chapter 19, and he told Moses, have the people to wash themselves, to sanctify themselves for in 3 days. So, and don't come at your wife. If you're married, if you're not married, you shouldn't be having sex anyway. And if you are married, don't come at your wife. Appear on the third day, sanctified, clean, not unclean. So the people, you know, they're still doing what they were doing. Well, maybe I want some this morning, whether it was a husband or a wife. Let's get us some, and then let's go and keep the Passover. Unclean, unsanctified. Therefore, the Levites had the charge of killing the Passover for everyone that was not clean, to sanctify them unto Yah. And remember, this cleanliness, that's why I said the cleanliness laws that people don't want to accept today. A lot of the pastors don't want to accept. They want to think that, oh, you got to be filled with a demon to be unclean. Now, these are Christian pastors. These are our pastors that are supposed to know who they are, who claim to be Hebrew Israelites, but don't understand the cleanliness law and only want to accept it that, oh, well, you know, they had an unclean spirit. They got an unclean heart. It's something No. Is that and what they're doing? You are in an unclean state. You have done something. You touched a dead body. You have had sex with your wife. You are having some type of leakage. You are, by the cleanliness law, unclean. And so they haven't been sanctified. So they're not able to commit. Remember, the whole nation, each family was supposed to kill the Passover. The head of that house was supposed to kill the Passover for that family. And you had to be in a clean state to do that. You had to be sanctified to do that. You just didn't say, oh, today's Passover. It's the 14th of the month. We got to keep the Passover. And I've been doing everything but what I'm supposed to do. Have not sanctified myself. Go in. Come on, baby, let's get some before it starts. Because we know we can't do nothing for whatever, even though a lot of them still were doing it. Let me kill the Passover, and I'm in an unclean state. Totally out of order, and even today, not even killing a lamb, but not even taking the day and sanctifying ourselves for it the way that we're supposed to do it. We don't understand. So it's an issue, a problem. So the priest is doing the killing of the lambs for every family so that Yah is not offended, so that somebody else don't die. The priests are doing this when it's supposed to be the heads of each household. And each household was to take a lamb for their own self, for their own size of their family, or some families got together, combined, so that the lamb wouldn't go to waste. Because you couldn't take it from house to house. But here we still got a corruption here, because the priesthood is killing the lamb, which was supposed to be killed at the house. And the lamb is being carried from the temple to the house. But Yah is overlooking this because the people are so corrupt. For a multitude of people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves. Yet did they eat the Passover. Sound familiar? Sound like today? Sound like people just doing things, not understanding that there is, the Most High has given his requirements for doing these things. And he don't want us to add to or take away from. He's the only one that can add to or take away from. And so these people are eating the Passover. It was like the pastor that asked me to teach them how to keep the Passover. But he didn't want to follow the law concerning keeping the Passover. Got offended. How are you going to tell me? I could hear it in the voice. I could hear it in the so-called rebuttal that they call themselves bringing. And, hey, you, even though you are a Hebrew by blood, have no understanding. And you just think that you can approach the Most High any kind of way you want to approach him. There are laws and rules concerning all these things. And they were not done away with under Messiah. They were not done away with. And so, well, we just want to keep it because it's in the Bible. Well, then you got to understand and learn how to keep it. Not just say it's a day and we're going to celebrate. You know, we're going to have a worship service and we're going to have a barbecue. We're going to have some liquor, and we're going to play dominoes and cards, and we're just going to have a good time. It's a feast day, having no understanding of how the Most High works. his requirements. Just going to do something. So we got it going on here. They have not cleansed themselves. They knew they were supposed to be sanctified. They knew that they were supposed to, just like they did during when Yah came down to visit them. Wash yourself and keep yourself clean. Don't come at your wife for any of my special feast days, for any of my Sabbaths. Anyway, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, the good Yah pardon everyone that prepares his heart to seek Elohim. So Hezekiah says, Yah, look at their heart. They want to do right. They want to serve you. And they're not doing it. They're not keeping your law the way they're supposed to. Pardon them for not doing it. Though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And Yah heard, listened to Hezekiah, and healed the people. In other words, he removed that transgression from them so that they could do it. Because this wouldn't have been acceptable. But Hezekiah knew that it wasn't acceptable. And he intervened, he interceded for the people, and Yah heard it. And see, we have to understand that we can do the same thing today, but we can't constantly do it. We can petition Yah that he heal the people, that he forgive the people for not doing things as are written. But everybody that comes up under that prayer has to learn the right way. They can't continue to approach Yah unclean. Can't continue to approach Yah unsanctified. But we are stubborn and stiff-necked. And then we don't believe, oh, you don't have the power to do that. We underestimate the power that we have. And we don't walk in it. But again, I digress. And Yah hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised Yah day by day, singing with loud instruments unto Yah. And Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of Yah. He spoke comfortably because really he was pissed off. And now you're doing the right thing. He was angry at them. Now you're doing the right thing and I can speak comfortably to you. Not threaten you, not say I'm going to kill you for not keeping the laws of the Most High. And they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to Yah, Elohim of their fathers. The whole assembly took counsel to keep another 7 days. So the Feast of Unleavened is going to be held for 14 days rather than 7. And they kept other 7 days with gladness. So they kept another 7 days. So this went on for 14 straight days where they didn't eat unleavened. They didn't kill the Passover again. They didn't kill, you know, the lambs again. But they stayed sanctified and pure. 14 days. They didn't eat unleavened for 14 days. With gladness. For Hezekiah, king of Judah, did give to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 7,000 sheep. And the princes gave to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep. And a great number of priests sanctified themselves. A great number of the priests sanctified themselves. Not all of them, but a great number of them. and all the congregation of Judah with the priests and the Levites and all the congregation that came out of Israel. Remember, the ones that came out of Israel were the remnant, but it was only a piece of the remnant. Not even all the remnant came. And the strangers that came out of the land of Israel. Remember, the strangers could always take part of this if they circumcised their males and agreed to keep the law. Then they could keep the Passover. And that dwelt in Judah rejoiced. So there was a great joy in Jerusalem. For since the time of Solomon, the son of King David of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. I told you, Solomon, one of the greatest, the wisest men in the scripture, he asked the Most High for wisdom, did a lot of dumb things, grievous things to the Most High, seeking wisdom. The vast majority of it was behind the women. Wasn't that the Most High said he couldn't have all those wives and those concubines? Is that when he took them, he also brought in their gods and worshiped them and allowed them to worship them. That was the problem. So they have been off a long time. They've been doing the wrong things a long time. Then the priests and the Levites arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard. And their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 1. Now when all this was finished, all Israel that were present went out to the cities of Judah, not to the northern kingdom. They went to the cities of Judah, the southern kingdom, and break the images in pieces and cut down the groves and threw down the high places. This goes all the way back to Moses and Joshua, the instructions given to them. In the land wherever I send you, tear down their groves, tear down their high places, destroy the places where they worship their gods. All of the kings allowed this to go on, but Gideon and Hezekiah. Solomon, one of the worst ones, allowed this to go on. So they are tearing down all these places. They worship Asherah, the one that they worship, that they claim Easter, you know, Easter for. They worship her in the grove. They worship Baal on the mountain. And they're just worshiping anything and everything. And the southern kingdom needs to be cleaned up. So they're going throughout the cities of Judah and breaking down the images in pieces, and cutting down the groves, and threw down the high places and the altars out of all Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, also in Manasseh, until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel, every man, Israel returned, and every man to his possession in their own city. They returned into the cities of the northern kingdom. They didn't clean them up, but they went back, but they helped to clean up the southern kingdom. But they still wanted to do what they were doing. And so they were supposed to return and clean up the northern kingdom. And Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests. Now, this is the courses of the priests when we get into Messiah's birth. The courses of the priests is one of the ways that they give the priest that is on duty, Zechariah, his family, It's by the courses of the priests and going in and doing their duty in the sanctuary, in the temple. It's how you can also tell when Messiah was born. Okay? So he resets it. Because they're not, you know, they're not, if you hear what he's saying, what it's saying, they're not even coming to the sanctuary, to the temple, and doing their duty how they're supposed to. He's got to straighten this out. David appointed this, the courses of the priest. This family would do it at this time, and this family would do it at this time, and this family would do it at this time, and this family at this time, according to the families of the Levites. The high priest and his family, they were in charge of the altar and the Holy of Holies. The other priests had other duties, to light incense and to clean the sanctuary and to bring the supplies in and all this other stuff. They were not doing this stuff. They were not doing it like they were supposed to, and they were not doing it when they were supposed to. And this is at the time of Hezekiah. And so he resets this order that the priest, you know, reestablishes it and say, hey, y'all get back on y'all job. Okay? And every man according to his service, the priest and the Levite, for burnt offerings and for peace that a priest and a Levite, remember the priests are going to be the high priest and his family, a family of Aaron. The Levites are the family of, Aaron is also a member of the family of the Levites. He's a Levite. But that Aaron's family was selected to be, always be the high priest out of his family. And the rest of the Levitical family were assigned different duties. They could have been in the choir. They could have been the ones that burned incense. They could have been on the ones that cleaned the sanctuary. They were the ones that helped with the killing of the sacrifices. So forth and so on. They are setting this stuff back in order. And for peace offerings, every man according to his service, the priest and the Levite, for burnt offerings and for peace offerings. Remember, the burnt offerings usually were for sin, or they could be for a free will offering. The peace offering was to make peace with Yah, just to bring an offering to him because you wanted to bring an offering to him. The free will offering was for if you just wanted to make an offering to Yah. Yah, I just want to make an offering to you, a sacrifice to you, because I love you. I love that you bring the rains in the proper times. I love that you have blessed my stores and they have increased and everything that I put my hand to. I just want to bless you. I don't want anything. You're already doing everything for me. I just want to bless you. And then if you transgress or you felt like you were out of place with Yah or you had done something wrong but you didn't know, you wanted to bring a peace offering. And if you knew you had sinned, then you had to do a sin offering. So they're going back to do the duty that they were supposed to be doing from the priesthood. The people couldn't even do this because the priests weren't doing what they were supposed to do, to minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the tent of Yah. He appointed also the king's portion of the substance for the burnt offering, to wit, for the morning and the evening burnt offerings. Because remember, they're supposed to do a burnt offering in the morning and in the evening. And these things were to be supplied by the king and the princes, along with what the people would bring. But he gave the king's portion. Okay? The burnt offerings for the Sabbath and for the new moon, because they were not keeping the new moon. We're guilty still of that today. Very few Hebrews keep the new moon. They're like, it's like they don't want to be burdened with it. And then when they read in the New Testament, let no man judge you of the Sabbath day, but they'll keep the Sabbath day, or so they say, and they'll keep the feast day. And when it comes to the new moon, then all of a sudden we get a case of selective forgetfulness, or really selective rebellion. Not going to do that. but as Yah shows us and gives us the truth, we ought to do. And for the set feet, as it is written in the law of Yah. Moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and the Levites, that they might be in the law of Yah. The portion of the priests weren't supposed to dwell in Jerusalem. They were supposed to dwell in the city that the people were in. So that they could minister. They, you know, they got a presence among the people, but they didn't own the land. The people volunteered the land, put a house on it for the priest. Because the priest wasn't allowed to own land in Israel. The people gave their portion. Here you go. Here is a house, and here's some acreage, and hey, y'all live on this. It belonged to the people, but it belonged to the priest at the same time. So he encouraged them to give their portion. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, now this is when it says abroad, now it's going back into Israel, back into the northern kingdom. The children of Israel bought in abundance the first fruits of corn. Now these are the same ones that came to the Passover. The ones that laughed at corn, they didn't do this. Brought in abundance the first fruits of the corn, wine and oil and honey, and all of the increase of the field, and the tithe of all the things bought they in abundantly. In other words, people, the children of the north that came, that wanted to be obedient, and the children of the south that came and wanted to be obedient did these things. But they weren't paying their tithes. They weren't bringing offerings before Hezekiah reestablished this. That's why the priesthood had to go out and get jobs and everything else. And we see that stuff going on even still today. Because, again, we don't understand the proper functioning of the kingdom of Yah and how he wants things to operate. In the tithe of holy things, which were consecrated unto Yah their Elohim, and laid them by heap. And in the third month, they began to lay the foundation of the heap and finish them in the seventh month. So they replenished the temple, the heaps that were supposed to be there of the tithe and the offering, so that the temple could properly function and so the priesthood could properly function. Took them 4 months. And when Hezekiah and the princes came and saw the heap, they blessed Yah and his people Israel. Then Hezekiah questioned the priests and the Levites concerning the heap, and Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of Yah, we have had enough to eat. We had a starving priesthood. And still today, people think that the priests and the ministers, ministers of Yah, are supposed to be poor. They're supposed to go, you know, they're supposed to have a job and work and supply for their family and all this kind of stuff, but that's not the way Yah intended. And a lot of people have a problem who do have that understanding. When the congregation does it, when there's a congregation of people that actually do it, then the people that don't understand have a problem with it. That's why you see a lot of those pastors, it's not the pastor doing it, saying, buy me a Rolls Royce or buy me a Mercedes or buy me this big house. It's the congregation that's doing it. We don't want our pastor to live like a poor person. And they do it. And then people say, oh, so, but then you have to look at, is it the pastor or is it the people? There are a lot of pastors that seek after that. There's a lot of pastors that don't. And the people do it. They understand what is written, okay? For the Yah bless the people, and that which is left is this great store. So the priest had plenty enough to eat, and there was plenty enough left over. And when you go to the book of Malachi says they do this on and off, It's like from generation to generation, this same problem happens. And in the end, what they were doing, up until Messiah was born, they were robbing Elohim, the people. They had gone back to doing the same thing. That's why he says, will a man rob Elohim? And yet you have robbed me. How have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You don't bring in what you're supposed to bring in. And so people have a problem today when it's not in their heart to actually do the right thing. There's a lot of people that listen to this ministry and never send in anything and are against tithing. Oh, we're not up under that. No, you're up under it. Don't want to be up under it because you don't want to do the right thing. And get angry if they're told. Because this is how Yah set things up. Hezekiah is setting it straight for the people at this time. And the people want to come and keep the Passover. They want to do the right thing. A lot of them don't. Okay? This is important because this is also the environment that Messiah is being born into. And this is the culture that Messiah lives among. Even Mary and Joseph typically only kept the Passover. Because the scripture says, as was their custom to keep the Passover. They would come to Jerusalem to do that. It didn't say they kept Pentecost or the Feast of Fruit, the Feast of Weeks. It doesn't say that they kept the Feast of Trumpets. But it does say they kept the Feast of Passover. Okay. So this is the environment that Messiah grows up in, that he comes into, that he grows up in. And on this evening, we're going to go to the king, and we're going to read about the northern kingdom and the state that they were in. The southern kingdom, we already know, was in bad shape. But Yah wasn't ready to punish them yet, because they would have a righteous king to come up. All the kings of the northern kingdom tend to follow after Jeroboam and do evil things. But you would get a righteous king in the kingdom, you would get an evil king in the southern kingdom. You get a righteous king and an evil king. Okay. Wasn't the case with the northern kingdom. Okay. So, on this evening, we're going to go to, because it's important, when we start looking at the life of Messiah, his childhood, that we understand the environment and we understand what is going on. And we can see it today, even still, even amongst our own people who call ourselves Israel, we can still see it. That we fight things. We want to be, you know, we want to be intellectual geniuses. We want to have our own opinion about the scriptures. Yah didn't send everybody to teach the scriptures. He didn't make everybody a teacher. He didn't make everybody a pastor. A lot of these people took on these things, took on these roles, because they desired it. They wanted to be it. But Yah says, you don't take this thing on without him sending you. You don't do it, because what you got to say and what you got to tell the people may not always be to tickle their ears, to tell them, to make them feel good. So you got to have the heart for him. All right, so we're going to stop here. You can see that certain ones of the northern kingdom came to the Passover. Certain ones of the northern kingdom sent and helped to supply for the priesthood, as commanded by the king, King Hezekiah, because they really had no king, And they really were, and this is why this couldn't go on for long, because the Assyrians would have had a problem with this. Would have had a problem with this. You know those people that y'all conquered and you moved us in here? And now they're following the commandments of the king of Judah and not the king of Assyria. There's going to always be these types of clashes and stuff. That's part of the problem. And so we want to look, I want to look at the heart of this matter from the king on this evening. And you see, if you don't see going on today, what was going on then? 2,000-3,000 years ago. Still going on today. And people not getting it. And most of the time, most Israel just acting as Israel because they want to be called Israel. They want to appear to be Israel, but not doing what Israel is required to do. So as Messiah said, white it sepulchers, white it graves. You appear good on the outside, but on the inside, it's all about you. Still doing things, you know, doing things that you're not supposed to do. And not reverencing the Most High, and not, you know, it's about control over people. Not reverence of the Most High, and not keeping his statutes, laws, and commandments. With that being said, we're going to, on this evening, I will finish up this particular topic. And it has to do a lot with what Messiah came into and why he wouldn't even send his disciples in there until afterwards. He said, you got to have power. I'm going to select 70, and I'm going to send them wherever I'm going to go first, and they're going to make the announcements that I'm coming. But I don't want y'all going because y'all weak. You got to receive power. I selected y'all, but y'all weak. So I don't want you going to the Samaritans. Not time yet. You got to receive power before you go there. Because you're going to be dealing with all these different things and come up against all these different doctrines and beliefs and practices. And if you don't have power to teach and to give understanding, these people ain't going to move. So we'll look at that on this evening. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, for this is our whole duty. Shalom and enjoy your day. Hope to see you this evening. And...
without you, there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause cause I'm just a man. You're always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump. Lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I feel with the Ruach and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always there to teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect.
Pray to see you guys this evening.